at 1037thebuzz.com.
The Zone at the Little Rock Touchdown Club is brought to you by Epic Health. Enjoy more energy and get better results from your workouts with Epic Health Testosterone Therapy. Epic Health, on the web at epicmenshealth.com.
Welcome back here on The Zone. Phil Elson and RJ Hawk, along with Matt Harris, been getting defensive with him. And right now, on the podium is Chris Hayes, who's the recruiting specialist at the Orlando Sentinel. And we'll send it inside, where right now Mr. Hayes is speaking to the Little Rock Touchdown Club.
Basketball is two guys who cover it, and we like that.
I personally don't, but, I mean, how do you stop it? You're not going to be able to stop it. Because, honestly, the kid, I've seen video of the kid in eighth grade, and you'd think that he was a senior in high school.
Sounds like it's a little low on our feed.
Yeah, it's
there,
low so. Over here too. So.
Oh well, we'll go and get him to pipe it up a little bit. So we'll figure it out. We'll keep it here until then, and we'll bring Matt back onto the broadcast and RJ. You know, how about last night's NFL game? And I think it might have gone as expected, where the Broncos were able to pull off the victory over the previously undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. And you know, one thing I know the Chiefs haven't really had to do too often is climb from behind. Broncos got him in an early 10-0 hole.
Yeah.
And they kind of had him where they wanted him. And I know that, you know, the way the Broncos had lost to Indianapolis and had a couple of close shaves since then, I think Bronco fans were hoping. Tommy Smith was probably very happy watching last night's game, as long as he could stay
It didn't surprise me. Peyton Manning and Mile High, with all due respect to Kansas City, it was much like the Texas Tech Baylor argument. You know, their first games, they haven't played anyone who has a winning record, such as Denver. But I just knew that Denver and Peyton Manning, their talent they had, I thought that he was going to get it done. It didn't shock me too much. It was a good game, though. I mean, Kansas City, if they had a few few plays go their way, they were in it in the fourth quarter. They played a good game, but
not going to be a recipe for success when they have Alex Smith throw 45 times. And
yeah.
They're kind of put in that position, you know, when you're trailing early against Denver, you're going to have to throw the ball in order to come from behind. Peyton threw for over 320 yards and a touchdown, and another solid game for Manning. I know he had his ankle taped up pretty heavily before the game.
And
it looked like he could barely even move his foot, but he was still able to plant and throw.
Man, I'll tell you what, when you got that adrenaline running through you, he probably didn't even need it taped. Pre-game, when you're out there, you're a little worried about it, but when you're in the heat of the battle, Peyton Manning is a true professional and a tough, tough competitor, and he showed that last night.
The Broncos also staying in primetime this next weekend. They've got the Patriots in New England, and
Brady.
Then they go to Kansas City. Sometimes the NFL schedule is very, very weird, where the Broncos host Kansas City on the 17th, and then they've got them in KC on the 1st of December.
Huh. Very familiar.
The road's getting a little more difficult for the Chiefs now, and you're going to they did play a fairly good game, but I think it's not necessarily that they were exposed, but you can tell who the better team was.
Right. Yeah, perfect. Absolutely.
I was kind of shocked, frankly.
Were you?
Just to see the lopsidedness.
They were in it the fourth.
They were in it, but I don't know. I guess the lack of offense from Kansas City.
Yeah.
We knew that they weren't just rock stars on offense, but
Jamal Charles is.
Yeah.
But that's the problem.
Yeah,
You can't compete against.
We did see Nile Davis last night get the ball game.
Good for Nile.
He almost got a touchdown last night.
Yeah, about 2 yards out. But, you know, the Chiefs, the way I look at it, it was like the Chiefs brought a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
You know, versus Peyton Manning, if you don't have an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady type quarterback along with a good running back, you know, it's going to be – you might be in it in the fourth, just like the Chiefs were, but you don't have enough firepower to win.
Looks like we've got the audio fixed over inside the ballroom. So here's Chris Hayes from the Orlando Sentinel.
Or Facebook has to be a private.
It has to be a public tweet.
No, it has to be private.
Private, I'm sorry.
Can't
be
public. Okay. But, you know, it says, hey, Joe, give me a call at 7:30 tonight. So really the limitation –
just to double-check, Matty T is the
– it's really low.
Still really low?
Yeah.
We can just keep talking. I want to give a game ball to my Pittsburgh Steelers, specifically to the quarterback of the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, who has been the target of some rumors that he feels are unfounded. You never quite know whether the rumors are unfounded or not, especially when it's a single journalist that's pointing to sources inside the organization that Roethlisberger is unhappy in Pittsburgh, specifically with the offensive coordinator, and during the offseason is going to demand a trade. He angrily angrily denied that report. And of course, you can angrily deny anything you want. Just remember Rafael Palmeiro pointing the finger at Congress, and he turned out to be lying.
Here's the thing, though.
But Roethlisberger threw for 367 and four touchdowns, had one of the best games for any quarterback, if not the best, this past weekend, and led the Steelers to a comeback win over a good Detroit team. How did the Lions not get Megatron a completion in the second half?
I don't know, because I have Stafford as my fantasy quarterback, and I was upset.
I mean, he had over nearly 180 yards in the first half, nothing in the
second
half.
Two touchdowns, right?
Incredible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, either I don't think they even looked at him very much.
I think they made some halftime adjustments is what that was.
Here's the thing.
Did y'all want to get some calls in?
Yeah, we can get some calls in.
Okay, yeah, Dwight's been hanging on for about 15 minutes here.
Okay. So.
Then we got General Bing after that.
What's up, Dwight?
I guess he couldn't hang on.
I guess not.
Sorry, Dwight.
He wanted to talk Ouachita.
And I'm afraid to ask what General Ben wants. But what's up, General Ben?
Oh, no, be afraid to ask. I wanted to talk about what y'all were talking about the BCS championship. Y'all very excellently explained how that, you know, Florida State could lose possibly against Duke in their championship game. You know, Alabama could lose in the SEC championship game. But I believe that this is where Baylor really has an advantage, because they play in the Big 12, who only has 10 teams, and Baylor doesn't have to worry about going 12-0 and then getting upset in their conference championship game. And Alabama and Florida State, even though they're going to be the heavy favorites, it is possible, not probable, but possible, that they could lose after being 12-0 regular season. They could lose in their championship conference game. So, you know, with Baylor having that advantage, I just thought I'd see what y'all thought about that.
Yeah.
I forget the year that it was that Oklahoma lost. Was it to Nebraska in the Big 12 title?
Or was it K-State?
Well, it was an unranked team, but it still did not knock them out of the BCS championship game. They still played that year against USC.
Adrian Peterson's
year? I think it might have been.
Yeah, they got destroyed.
What year was that?
I think it was 01,
yeah.
I would say.
But, I mean, it does show.
Because AP came out in 04. He came out of high school in 04.
So it had been, like, I think it was 02, 03. Yeah. That's when Sproles, was it the K-State Sproles years?
Yeah.
I think it was 03.
May have been, yeah.
Maybe 02, 03, but something like that. But, yeah, Baylor has one, basically they have one less chance to lose. They have a hard, that being said, they have a harder upcoming finale to finish out with Oklahoma State, Texas, and TCU relative to a Florida State playing Idaho this week. But they do have Florida in a rival game. But Baylor has some tough games ahead of them. But if they get through that, they don't have to play and risk them losing in a conference championship. So there is some pros and cons of having a conference championship. If you win, you just shut the door and solidify all doubt. Like Alabama, if they win out, there's going to be no argument there.
I know the conference championship game is still, you know, somewhat of a new idea within the last 15 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I still, I mean, I did not remember that there is no longer a conference championship
for
in the Big
12. I know. Their conference realignment.
Against their own brand's name, they only have 10 teams.
It kind of messes. There's an oxymoron there.
Guys, going back to the NFL, one storyline that and by the way, you were talking about Pittsburgh, and if Big Ben wants to win another championship, he's going to have to leave Pittsburgh. That's my –
You think?
I honestly think that, because that team
– It's evolved past
It's
him.
Not – got. Yeah, it really has, because right now he just doesn't have talent with him on that team. I don't think – you're the Pittsburgh guy. I mean, I just don't see that Pittsburgh team being – they weren't a competitor last year. And really, you know, they've digressed to this point now. They're just not a very good team, and rightfully so, that rumors are being speculated that he's going to another team or wanting to be traded, because it's just not a very good team right now.
Well, it's a burdensome contract on the franchise for certain, and you know, defensively is really where they've got a lot of the more aging veterans and some more holes.
Well,
I mean, they did get gashed yesterday, although they came up big at the end against Stafford and his arm. You know, the NFL is such an – I mean, you can really turn things around pretty quickly.
Yeah.
With a couple of good drafts,
like
things
Kansas
can
City.
Change. That's exactly right,
Kansas one year,
City.
They got 30 new players and a new head coach, and they're in a new ball club.
To me, it's not like baseball, where you know, a baseball franchise is not going to be turned around over the course of one or even 2 years. It'll take 4 to 5 years to, you know, take something that is on the downslope and work it back up.
Yeah.
But I think in the NFL, things can happen a lot quicker. And Roethlisberger's in his early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I think that – that he still, I mean, still looks like a marquee quarterback for me. He's having a very good year for a team that does not have a good offensive line, and he's forced to run for his life week after week. Yeah. He would be a great quarterback on a team that needs somebody, to sort of be the final piece.
Come to Dallas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's shown the ability to win that big game that has evaded Romo throughout his career.
Well, and another team that we've talked about that has just been awful. How about the Giants yesterday? They got a win over the Packers,
streak.
And they've won four straight now. And this is also against a Green Bay team that didn't have Aaron Rodgers, or
their backup. They're at their third string.
He
played pretty well though.
They had three quarterbacks this year for the Packers. They'd had three quarterbacks in the previous
30 years. Yeah, 2-3 decades. Yeah.
So they have beaten Green Bay, Oakland, Philly, and Minnesota. Next up is the Dallas Cowboys next weekend. So
bring it, baby.
You know, my thinking on I think that you could still pretty much say the Giants are out of this race. But if they get a win over Dallas, it's a new ball game.
They're tied for second in the East if they get a win over Dallas. And
how crap is the NFC East?
It is
awful. I am a Cowboys fan as much
too.
As you are.
Yeah.
But
you have a way of putting things very succinctly sometimes.
Absolutely just crap.
And I mean, it is. Philly coming in and winning. They look like almost a contender now. Nick Foles is coming into his own. But the Giants, I mean, that's a joke. The Cowboys, I love them to death. But give me a break. You can't depend on them for anything.
What's up with the Niners? They don't look like the team from last year.
You know what?
And Kaepernick, I mean, was it a flash in the pan?
He's a flash in the pan. I don't know why they gave up on Alex Smith so much. He put him only in the NFC Championship game the year before. He was doing well. He got injured. Cap had one good game that year. And they just took the reins from him. And I love Harbaugh. I was really surprised. The one thing I could see is that Cap's upside was bigger than Alex Smith's because he can make a big play with his arm and legs. But Alex Smith can make if Cap makes a run for 40 yards, Alex Smith makes one for 35. I mean, he's an athletic quarterback. He made a few runs yesterday against the Broncos that moved the chains. That's what hurts you. When you're a quarterback that can move the chains with your legs and arm, that's what's really bad. And I was surprised to see Alex Smith go out so quickly. And I'm not surprised to see Kaepernick struggle this year because he's never been a full-year starter. And the peaks and valleys of NFL season, you've got to be tough mentally. You've got to be a starter and a veteran. And he's taken his lashes this year. I didn't believe it when it happened.
You know, we just talked about the Giants game and with the Cowboys. And, you know, that's one of those rivalries that there's a lot of talk throughout the games and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just saw this on ESPN where Jason Pierre-Paul came out and said, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a dog fight, actually. There's going to be a lot of blood spilled out there.
Was there one team?
What is this, Braveheart? I mean,
JPP.
Was there one team that you know from your father's era when he played for the Cowboys that he could get up for more than any of the other teams that they would play?
The Redskins. The Redskins were a team he loved going into that stadium. I think it was RFK Stadium back then. And he said that one year they actually went up in the stands because someone threw a bottle or hit him, or Randy White's mother got blackjacked somebody. And back then, I mean, there was no cameras, no video. I mean, there was cameras, but there was a story where they went up in their armor, their pads, into the stands because Randy White's family was getting in a fight and they could see it after the game. And the Redskins were a huge rival, which they are today, just like last year's NFC East Essential Championship game. They were both tied. Whoever wins gets the title and whoever loses goes home. So there's still a lot of pressure with the Redskins. But really, I mean, that's why people like the NFC East. There's so much rivalry and history there. I mean, you ask if there's one team, there's really all teams.
Yeah, every one of them.
The Giants. I hate the Giants. I went to Philadelphia games growing up, and I'd see grown men fighting each other in the stands, pouring beer on each other, cussing each other out. And I mean, that was just another Sunday against the Eagles or the Giants or the Redskins.
To me, that's the Pittsburgh versus Baltimore game.
Right.
Anybody in that division, really. But then that's also what makes, and there is that rivalry, and I'm sure your dad, you know, felt it as well, between the Steelers
Pittsburgh. And
the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
And they were the two big national teams in the 70s along with the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and they only play each other once every 3 years. Mm-hmm. Unless they happen to meet in the last game of the season.
Oh, gosh. It wasn't as consistent. That's such a sensitive subject, but the Steelers, I hate them. I don't want Big Ben and the Cowboys.
You should have seen the first time that Matt met me and we start getting to know each yeah. other a little bit, and I'm from Pittsburgh. Oh, really?
Steelers fan.
It's even worse that I broadcast for Henderson, right?
I know. He's a Henderson broadcaster loves right the Steelers.
We actually get along very yeah. well, so it's surprising.
The irony.
I'm looking at the NFC just as a whole, mm-hmm. and whether it be the East, North, South, or West, and really when you look at – I don't know if it's just – the NFC is awful, or if it's just an inconsistency because everybody's beating each other up. But think about this: the NFC East, you've got a 6-5 team in Philly, a Dallas team at 5-5, then the Giants at 4-6, and Washington at 3-7. The NFC North, okay, another division that we always think is a good division because you've got the Packers, the Vikings. Detroit Lee are is tied in that division with Chicago at 6-4.
Yeah,
okay, so everybody that has gone on record and said, "Oh, the NFC is crap." Well, you know what? The NFC North's not much better because you've got Green Bay at 5-5 and Minnesota in 2-8. So then you look at the NFC South, and they are like the bright spot whenever you start looking at who ever would have thought the NFC South would be the bright spot
with the Carolina Panthers coming in at second.
Well, you've got New Orleans at 8-2, Carolina at 6-3, and then the West, of course, Seattle's 10-1, but then the 49ers are at 6-4.
And they're second?
Yeah, they're at fourth at 6-4, tied with Arizona. Yeah,
the two competitive teams are Seattle and
New Orleans.
And that's all you need is really one or two good teams to compete in the playoffs and get you through. And are they going to be head and shoulders above those AFC teams of the New York or the New England? So it's going to be interesting to see how it all folds out as a whole, NFC versus AFC. But you're right. I mean, NFC as a whole is
not very good.
It's jumbled up this year.
I mean, but a chunk of mediocrity in the NFL this year as far as teams go. Yeah.
I say that though, but then you look at the AFC and
think
about this. The Patriots are 7-2. They lead their division, right? Mm-hmm. The Jets come in at 5-5. Miami's 5-5, and Buffalo's 4-7. Then, when you go to the north of the AFC, Cincinnati leads that at 7-4. Indianapolis is at 7-3. The next best team in the South in the AFC is at 4-6, and that's Tennessee.
Gosh.
And then in the AFC West, Denver and Kansas City are both 9-1, and then Oakland's at 4-6. So overall, I guess you could say
there's some mediocrity.
Besides about three teams. The NFL might just be crap this year.
Yeah.
But let's just put it there. There's just a bunch of bad teams that are –
Let's
bunch
put
of,
Alabama in a new conference in the NFL. They get destroyed. I don't want to hear that argument.
Yeah, I know
but,
it. I know it.
But, yeah, there's some mediocrity. I want to see it. I love the NFL. I love football. Yeah. College football is great. But you know what makes me mad?
What?
Is that sack on New Orleans. Maud Brooks had a great – that would have changed the game. That would have put him in overtime. You know, they're taking the man's job away by changing the game. That wasn't an illegal hit at all. Just because it's a violent hit doesn't make it an illegal hit. It drove me crazy.
The sissification of football continues.
Perfect.
And I don't like it. I don't think a lot of people like it. But. Yeah.